Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
The comics we'll be talking about originally came out on June 24th, 2009. As usual, we're going to be starting with DC, going to Marvel, hitting another comic, and we're going to have a bonus feature this week. So let's see if we can get through all four comics in a halfway reasonable amount of time. Starting us off in DC is Detective Comics 854. This is the first issue featuring Batwoman in the lead feature and The Question in the second feature. Personally, I've been, you know, thinking with all these Batman titles, are they just coming out with too many? And I'd seen the preview stuff for Batwoman in the back of a number of books. I thought the first couple of pages were okay, but it left me a little cold. After reading this, I thought the main story gave a really good introduction to Batwoman. It gave an okay introduction to her alter ego of Kate, whose last name isn't even given in the issue. But what really struck me as a little odd is she doesn't seem to be living in that upscale mansion she had back in 52. Really, there doesn't seem to be much of a connection to the character's introduction from 52. Where did this Pop Colonel character come from? So there were a couple of things there that it felt a little off, but not in a bad way. Overall, the story worked well for me. And I liked the art, and the use of the red as a predominant color, when I'd seen it in those first couple of pages in the previews and stuff, worked okay, but left me a little cold. Over the course of this issue, I felt it really worked very well, and it grew on me long before the end of the issue. I think this has a unique art style to it in terms of the page layouts, the use of the color, everything, and I was really happy with that. But again, you know, J.H. Williams, you're not going to go wrong with him in most cases. And this certainly, you know, I don't think we went wrong with him here. You know, I think this has a unique enough feel to stand out from the other Bat books and really from the other female lead characters they've tried to do in Gotham. With, you know, the others being, you know, Batgirl, Huntress, Catwoman, and Harley Quinn, for that matter. This one, I think, actually has legs to go for a while and become a viable ongoing thing, which going in, I wasn't sure if it was going to be the case or not. Like I said, I didn't think this spun out well from the 52 appearances, but that's both good and bad. Because, you know, if people felt, oh, well, I didn't read 52, I'm going to be lost on this, that's not a concern. Overall, for the lead story, I really liked it. You know, I'd give it a 4. Backup feature, didn't work as well for me. You know, while I like The Question, I didn't think the backup feature was a good introduction story. It felt kind of like just a by the numbers, I almost want to say a filler story. A story that, while entertaining, was one that didn't mandate it had to be told, and certainly wasn't a good introduction for The Question in any way, shape, or form. I mean, the art was good, but Renee and Tot looked different than we'd seen them before. They're in some kind of a lighthouse that I don't recall ever having seen before. And I think that feature would have been better off if it had started out with a solid introduction to the characters and getting up to speed versus coming in almost like on a middle chapter. So I think if you go into the backup feature not knowing who Renee / The Question is, I think you're going to come out having more questions than answers. But it was still a good story and entertaining. To me, that was a 3. What did you think of these, Bob?
I thought that the Batwoman lead was one of the best things I've read this year. The style that J.H. Williams brought to this thing was phenomenal, in my opinion. The panel layouts, just the way that he laid out the pages and the interesting forms that you look at the pages in and of themselves on how he's built the panels was incredibly visually interesting to me. I mean, there was like maybe one or two pages that had the standard square panels, and the most of them were really, really interesting. I loved the art in it, and it made up for anything else that might have been wrong with it. I mean, it's been so long since 52.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember or notice any kind of inconsistencies. You know, I remembered that she was kind of living in a penthouse or whatever, but I mean, here it's just like the character had been touched upon so minorly back then that, I mean, I just figure this is like her dad, and, you know, she's moved on. She's, you know, he's training her and knows who she is. I kind of like the relationship. I gave the lead feature a 5. It's, like I said, one of the best things I've read. I kind of agree with you on the question one. Fortunately, it was relatively short comparatively. You know, the main feature here was 24 pages and only 8 pages on the backup. Cully Hamner's art wasn't working that much for me on the question story. Renee did look different, and for some reason she looked blonde near the end of the issue, which is kind of weird. She didn't look blonde at the beginning, but then when she was in Los Angeles, she definitely looked like she had blonde hair, and that seemed wrong. But, you know, the whole first half of this one, I mean, I would buy this 24 pages for this price, even if there wasn't a backup feature. I loved it so much. So it worked for me. And this is where, you know, the backup feature, the second feature, you know, here it's almost incidental. I liked the front part so much.
Well, and I think you really brought up a good point with the page layouts and stuff being just not even a step above everything else. But to me, this is, you know, award-winning level of page layout and design.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's so brilliantly done. It plays well into the story. It doesn't detract from it. It's not the least bit confusing, even though it's incredibly innovative. And to me, that's what makes this issue stand out from pretty much, you know, everything I've been reading lately.
And he actually has a couple of different styles that he flips between. You know, like when she's Batwoman, it's got more of a kind of a painted style, you know. It's a little softer almost. And then when she's in the regular identity as Kate, you got a little more of the line work.
Yeah, yeah. Line work, lighter colors, softer colors, whereas as Batwoman, you get a lot of the darker darks and the more vibrant reds.
Right.
And the whiter whites and stuff. So a heavier contrast there.
I really like that page where the one panel was kind of like shape of the bat symbol.
I was just flipping to that, and it's like a page or two after the staple.
Yeah, 2 pages after the staple. You got kind of her silhouetted face with the lips and the hair above that. It's just fabulous. I mean, it's like visually stunning. And then you go to the next page, you got the 2-page thing where she's jumping, but you got the insets and kind of like the lightning bolts.
Yeah. I mean,
it's amazing.
Again, it's literally in, you know, the case of where she's doing the 2-page kick across or whatever, working on multiple levels. Because there's the panel that's kind of above and in front of the other lightning bolt panels and stuff. It plays into it. It's something that I don't see all that often in a lot of the other books I'm reading. A lot of it's more the standard layout. And it's a very slick visual touch to be flipping between these kind of 2 styles of this more inventive and heavier use of the color palette and stuff for Batwoman and the more standard for when she's Kate. And that visual dichotomy of the 2 identities, I think, is a really clever touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing where this title, you know, goes with this feature and stuff. You know, overall, I give the whole thing a 4. While I didn't think the backup was as good, it didn't drag down the front at all. So what would you give the overall thing?
I mean, I gave the front feature a 5, and if I had to give the overall thing a 5, I'd give the overall thing a 5, because like I said, I would buy this if that back piece wasn't even in there. So, I mean, it didn't pull it down at all for me because the front, I thought, was so strong.
I can see that.
Now, the second book that we're doing is Dark Reign Elektra number 4. And I was originally thinking this was a 4-issue series. It's actually a 5-issue series, so we are not getting the end of this story. Although we are getting Elektra having a reacquaintance with Bullseye, who happens to now be wearing a Hawkeye outfit, but it's still Bullseye, which is kind of an interesting little twist since he did kill her at one point. I've been actually liking this series, the Dark Reign Elektra series. Zeb Wells does a good job writing it, and it's just something happens in every issue. Very fast-paced, interesting story, very crisp dialogue. And there's some nice moments in each one of the issues. This one, I particularly liked some of the interactions between Elektra and Bullseye.
I hadn't read any of it, so I read issues 1, 2, 3, and 4 pretty much in one sitting. And I'm going to come across as being really harsh on this title, but I want to say from the outset that I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good series. I think it's highly entertaining. But, and the but I have is, to me, this is almost like a summer blockbuster action movie. It's a roller coaster ride. It's a hell of a lot of fun. But if you really stop and look at it and kind of analyze the story structure, whatever, in some places it's a little cliche, a little predictable, a little, I almost want to say formulaic. But I don't mean that in a bad way. But it's something that keeps it for me from being a top-notch book, even though it's more entertaining than some books I think are, on a technical level, maybe done better. Because at the end of every issue of this, it's almost a cliche cliffhanger. Oh, she's about to break out of the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier. Oh, you know, we're setting up the fact she's going to have to fight, you know, Bullseye. Oh, she's, you know, coming up against, you know, whoever it was, the third issue. I'm not positive this had to be a 5-issue series. I'm enjoying it. I think you're right. There are a lot of really great moments. It's sharply written. All the moments are good and funny. Like, again, any good action film. But to me, each issue is reading more like a really good chunk of a TV show that fits between the commercials than an entire episode. Now, for a miniseries, that's perfectly legit. I don't really have a problem with that. But this is something that I think some people would get more out of reading it in a trade paperback than issue to issue from month to month. Now, again, I read all 4 back to back, so I was pretty much getting that experience. I don't know if I would be enjoying this as much if I had read it month to month. Because a lot of this is kind of get in, tell a little story, get out. And again, in an almost Hollywood cliche kind of a way. You know, that having been said, the art's really solid. The action is probably some of the better action I've seen. Some of it's really clever. Like, a couple of pages before the staple, the whole bit with, you know, Bullseye trying to take her out by throwing a bullet at her and how that plays out. Okay.
Yeah, I really like what she did with that.
That was fun. That was clever. That gets some good marks.
I had a little thing of like the Mythbusters kind of showing how that actually couldn't happen, but
yeah. It's one of those, I don't care if it could happen or not. It was cool, yeah. You know?
That's where you get like the kind of summer blockbuster thing out of it though, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's the kind of thing that would happen in an action movie.
You know,
and it doesn't matter how implausible it is.
Right.
It's cool.
This is the kind of comic that you want to go in for the ride and treat it kind of like that roller coaster. There are going to be the twists and turns. Some of it you know is coming because you got to kind of crank up those hills before you go down the next drop on a roller coaster. This is the same way. It's some clear foreshadowing for the big, you know, major twist at the end or whatever. But they play fair. They tell a good thing. It's entertaining. It's really, I think, the best Elektra stuff I've seen in a couple of years. That having been said, I do think that the Elektra Monthly that went on for 2 or 3 years, that had some damn amazing stories in it at times.
That's the one that had the Greg Horn covers on it?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot more they could be doing with this character, and certainly I think Zeb Wells would be a good writer for that. Clay Mann did a solid job on the pencils, but if they were to take this to a monthly, I would like to see tighter writing. Feel a little bit more happening each issue. It's one I'd still recommend, but at this point, if you haven't picked it up yet, wait for the trade. I mean, it's not going to be that long anyways. Out of all of the Dark Reign stuff I have read, I would agree with your assessment that this and the Fantastic Four one, really good. The others, which I haven't read all of yet, not so good.
And that's the thing. I mean, I got this, and it was good enough that I was willing to pay $3.99 for it. And that's the other point. I mean, this is one of the 22-page stories for $3.99. I liked it. And I liked it a lot, which is why I was willing to pay $3.99 for a 22-page story. Now, a lot of the other ones that I sampled, you know, I'd read an issue and it'd be like, well, okay, that was an okay story, but it's certainly not worth $3.99. This one was.
Well, and maybe that's where I was being a little harder on it. I think if it had been a $2.99 one, it would probably have been entertaining enough that I would have maybe been I don't want to say more charitable, but less harsh on it. I think this was, to me, a very solid 3. It came close to a 4. As a total story so far, I think the overall is greater than the sum of the parts. And I expect it to finish up really strong next issue. But for me, this issue was a 3. If it had been $2.99, I might have been willing to go for a 4.
I gave it the 4. I mean, I've been liking every issue of this as it comes off. Next issue, we got Wolverine. Haven't seen him very often.
I know, he's such an underused character. They really ought to get him in a couple of more teams, a few solo books. You know, they could probably do half the company with just him. Oh, wait, they are.
They could probably put a Wolverine cover on every single comic book, even if it's not a Wolverine comic. Oh, wait, they're doing that.
Because he appreciates art. It's ridiculous, I know. Shall we move on to our next book?
Player versus Player, number 42, the issue that we waited 9 months for or something?
The previous issue came out on October 15th, 2008, and was only one of 4 issues released in 2008. This issue had an order code from February 2008. So I'm not going to say this is late, I'm going to say this is so late, Diamond should have canceled it and made Image resolicit it.
Interestingly, and in the stroke of irony, I was cleaning up my DCBS orders a few weeks back. And, you know, it's like every now and again when I look at my DCBS stuff that's been like, you know, that I ordered like over a year ago, I'm like, this stuff really is probably never going to come out, or Diamond will cancel it and it'll be resolicited. So I usually will shoot them an email and say, hey, you know, here's a bunch of old stuff. Can you just credit me for this stuff? And, you know, then I'll just pick it up when it gets resolicited if I'm still interested. And like the week after I sent that email and they credited me, boom, up this thing shows. And I'm like, ah, you know. So I ended up having to go and buy it at the shop to do for this episode. And that's what's somewhat irritating about this, because this is 20 pages, black and white, reprints from a web strip. Now, we've talked before I even get into content, you know, we've talked about, well, you know, okay, you have something that's, you know, a comic that comes out, why does a comic cost $3.99? Why does a comic cost $2.99? Whatever. Well, you know, the creators cost this amount of money, and you know, they are on exclusive contracts and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, guess what? I mean, I really have a hard time seeing that 20 pages of reprinted web strips is worth $3.50. And I just felt hosed in buying this thing. And then add into it, I mean, and there are good issues, and I won't say good. There are issues that I enjoy more than others from PvP, because he does lots of different pop culture references, and in this one, a fair amount of it, they're doing a riff on something that I'm just completely out of the loop on, so I just totally didn't get the whatever kind of witty reference they were making, and it just went completely over my head. So I didn't even really enjoy this issue that much, and then I add in the fact that, you know, I'm paying $3.50 for 20 pages, and it's just not good.
Well, I mean, I usually really enjoy PvP. I think Scott Kurtz is doing some great stuff, by and large. I think he's a very funny guy, and is capable of turning out good material. But, and this is going to be a major but, I mean, part of it, maybe it was the massive delay between issues that just, I don't want to say killed story momentum, these are web strips. But it's been so long since I've been kind of in this narrative world that I'm that far removed from it now. And while I usually really enjoy issues of PvP, this one left me a bit cold. Now, again, maybe it was the long delay between issues. Maybe it was a huge focus on Skull at the expense of all the other characters. I, too, didn't really get what they were riffing off for half the issue. And I'm not going to say this issue was bad, but I was really underwhelmed by it. Now, you know, in my notes I had that, you know, I'd still feel comfortable recommending this title, but not with this issue. And, you know, thinking about it now, I disagree with that. Go to the website. Go to PvP Online. Just read it there. Because at 17.5 cents a page, 20 pages, when he feels like getting it out, and maybe that's harsh, maybe there's good reasons for this to be delayed, but it's a compilation of web strips, 2 per page. He's doing this online. I'm willing to bet he's got a standardized format for the size of each strip. You could probably automate the entire process of putting together these issues for the most part. So the long delay is hard to justify. The cost for these issues is a little hard to justify, particularly when he's giving away the content for free. And there was a point a couple of months back where I realized, you know, I haven't seen PvP for 6 months or whatever. So I hit the website, realized it had been like a year and a half's worth of content on the website that I'd missed, and I went through and I read it. So some of this I'd already read.
That's actually true. I mean, I went to the website too, and what I did notice, I didn't read all of the content, but I noticed that, boy, he's like radically changed his style. You know, like the newer strips, the people look kind of, I mean, his style has evolved.
Well, and he's changed a couple of the characters significantly. And you know, in the course of the strip, he kind of, you know, deals with that. And again, his style has evolved and stuff. So the material in this is from, I'm going to say, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And frankly, I got to give this book a 2. It didn't work for me. I don't think it was necessarily bad, but I was not sufficiently entertained by it. And certainly did not feel it was worth the incredibly long delay between issues. And Scott Kurtz can do better than this, and if this was one that I knew in a couple of weeks, hey, I'm going to get another one, not a big deal. But at this point, I don't even know if we're going to get an issue 43.
Well, I can tell you what, I'm not going to get an issue 43. I actually, that was another one that I, it was 42 and 43 that I got credited for, and I am not going to go to the shop to pick up number 43. I'm done with this. I gave it a 2 also.
Which is too bad, because he's capable of better than this. And he's doing better than this on the website, you know?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's, you know, it's a reprinted web strip put in 28 pages of content or something, you know? Put in an extra couple of pages. Don't put in these house ads in here. I mean, well, even that, I mean, this one's not even a house ad. Jet Technology, whatever that is. You know, Kaboom. That's an image book, I guess, but, you know, you don't, if you're not an image partner, I don't think you put house ads in for free since you're paying Image for the privilege of, we haven't really talked about that before. It's an interesting point, though. You know, since, you know, you're paying Image for the privilege to have them put your book out, do you give them free house ad space?
You are not obligated to.
Or do they have to you know, reduce your fee, or, you know, do you get something back for putting the house ads in?
My understanding is you could sell the ad space however you want. Now, whether there's a kind of a barter system of, hey, I haven't been able to sell, I've got space for one, you want to swap ads, I don't know if that's the case or not. I would kind of think it probably would be. But, you know, I am under the distinct impression that, you know, they got paid for that Jet ad, and probably, hell, I'd be surprised if they were able to swap ads for PvP in these other books, because it's not like they come out that often, but who knows.
Anyway, I mean, my bottom line point here is that they should have been able to put more than 20 pages of strips in this book. You know, that's just... And it's not like the material's not there, like you pointed out. I mean, there's another year and a half of this stuff sitting out on the web right now. And, you know, in general, I'm very entertained by PvP, but I'll just say, hey, anyone who wants to check out PvP, go read it online. There's no need to waste $350 on this comic book.
Yeah, and I hate to say that.
And I feel like I wasted $350 on this comic book.
Yeah. Shall we go to our bonus book?
Sure.
Is Gotham City Sirens number one. This is yet another one of the plethora of books in Gotham City. And, you know, this one is Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Poison Ivy. I went into it wondering if we really need this title. It seemed like another superfluous one. But frankly, I came out convinced that we do. Paul Dini does a great job setting things up and gives a satisfying story in this issue. This is an interesting mix of characters with an interesting kind of a take on it. The art was solid, worked well for the book. It's not the gratuitous good girl art that they've used at times on Catwoman, on Harley Quinn, stuff like that. I really enjoyed the guest appearance by Zatanna. And frankly, I came out of this thinking, you know, I want to read more of this. I'm looking forward to future issues, and really, what more can I say if, you know, a number one, if it does that, to me, that's the whole goal, and it succeeded there. What did you think?
I probably liked it a little less than you. I didn't hate it. I thought that the Zatanna thing, wow, if it's that easy to take down Zatanna, she would have been dead by now.
Fair enough. I could see that.
You know, it's like, Zatanna's pretty powerful. She's been around. She's been in the Justice League. For Poison Ivy to just pop in, dip her head in the water before she can get a spell off, and it's like, you know, I find that a little... hard to believe.
And but that was more a trick that Swamp Thing would do. I don't think we've ever seen Poison Ivy been able to do this. So that was a little far-fetched.
I didn't mind that it didn't have, you know, kind of like the really lurid good girl art. I wasn't that enthused with Gillum March's art, though. I mean, it was okay. I mean, in general, I liked the story. I didn't love it. I'm interested to see what's going to happen next, so I'll give it another couple of issues. It's different. You're right.
I think part of it for me is I went in with low expectations. You know, I didn't think we needed this. I thought it would be cliche or you know, something we'd kind of seen before or whatever, and it surpassed my expectations.
I gave it a 3, and after, you know, kind of deciding not to get the second issue of Streets of Gotham and not get the second issue of Red Robin, certainly Gotham City Sirens was, you know, better to me than those two. So it made the cut. Certainly wasn't in the top of the echelon. You know, I loved the Batman and Robin. I loved, obviously, we just talked about the Detective Comics. One that, you know, we did miss one.
And that was Batman. I know.
Which I actually really enjoyed that issue of Batman. In fact, the fact that they went through and actually showed us Nightwing, Dick Grayson, you know, going through the decision process to become Batman and putting on the uniform, I thought that was a really good issue.
Well, just the scene that had Superman and Wonder Woman at the Batcave.
Yeah.
That, to me, was probably the best, most touching scene they've done in any of these Bat books about the whole death of Batman.
Yeah.
And I probably would have given that issue easily a 4 out of 5, if not a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. It was a very good issue. Very well done. So it's actually interesting to me that, you know, of the Batman books, you know, it was like Batman and Detective and the Batman and Robin. Those were all, in my mind, really solid, really good books. They're the ones that I would kind of get anyway because, you know, but, you know, the other ones were all, you know, a little lesser in my mind than those three showcase ones.
I gotta wonder if they're just stretching themselves a bit too thin by trying to do too many books out of the Gotham City stuff. You know, some of it is good, some of it's better than others, but it just seems like there's too much in that area. The DC Universe is much richer than that, and I'm not really in favor of DC kind of following along the lines that Marvel's been going for a while of, let's take a title and explode it into an instant franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's a little more justified with Batman and some other areas. But, I mean, Marvel's taking the Hulk and turning that into about 8 titles, it feels like. To me, that seems short-sighted. Get some more properties out there, build them up. Now, I don't know about you, but this was a fairly big week for me. I got 57 comics, 3 trades, got charged for bags, boards, shipping, that kind of stuff, got previews. So, sizable week.
Are you still getting back order stuff?
Some of this was back order stuff. A lot of it, a shocking amount, was for the current week.
Well, this was that big week, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got 45 comics. Those are all new, you know, from this week. And I got the Golden Age Starman Archives, the JLA Deluxe Hardcover Volume 2, Magic Trixie Volume 3. Couple of those lead figures. The Aquaman one from DC was actually very nice. I got the Baleet statue.
Cool.
Goes with Conan.
Only about 8 of these were for previous weeks. So the majority was just, it was just a huge week. I was disappointed with how many Dark Reign books Marvel chose to release in 1 week. We got Dark Reign Elektra, Dark Reign Hood, Dark Reign Lethal Legion, Dark Reign Sinister Spider-Man, Dark Reign Zodiac.
I looked through a lot of those.
I haven't had time
yet. I went
through
the comic shop, right, because I had to buy the Player versus Player
right.
While I was out there. And, you know, so Lethal Legion. Why does this book exist? Just like it didn't look that good. Zodiac, same thing. It's like, let's take a bunch of, you know, D-list bad guys and throw them into a book that's got, you know, marginal at best artwork. They're really milking this Dark Reign thing.
Oh, it's big just, time.
The Sinister Spider-Man, I actually did pick up the first issue of. It was on a decent discount. It's Brian Reed is writing it and had Chris Bachalo art. And that one stood a little bit above the others. It was a decent issue.
But over half the stuff I got this week was Marvel.
Well, Marvel put out like close to 40 books, I think.
Well, I got like 34 from them, so that's one way to win the sales war is just, you know, pump out a few billion titles.
Yep. Did you read any of them, or did you not have much?
I've read a couple. What did I read? I read Amazing Spider-Man. I've been liking that.
I read that. That was very...
Avengers Invaders, like that.
You know, I read that, and it was like...
It was not the strongest ending it could have been.
Yeah, the ending was a little muddled, a little confusing. It just... It didn't end strong.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I would agree with that. Given the plot twists we got around, like, issue 8, some of the stuff earlier with the Human Torch, and stuff like that, I think there were stronger plot moments earlier in the story, and this, I would have appreciated if it had really ended strong, and didn't quite get there, but it was still enjoyable. Red Nova, loving that book. Justice Society, read that. Green Lantern, that's some good stuff. Teen Titans.
Did you read New Avengers and Dark Avengers?
I now have the issues I need to read all of Dark Avengers, have not done that yet, and I'm still missing New Avengers 50.
Okay.
So I'm kind of blocked on that.
Well, New Avengers was pretty good. You got the new Sorcerer Supreme kind of finally anointed in this issue. And Dark Avengers. I like Dark Avengers. It's done pretty well. One of the better uses of the Sentry that I've seen. I mean, I'm really not that enthused about the Sentry as a character. The way that Osborn's able to just kind of like pull the strings on him kind of is indicative of, you know, the fact that he's a pretty weak character as a hero. Secret Warriors was good.
I think I'm still missing an issue on that before I can be reading that. I think I still need issue 2.
Not the strongest X-Factor Peter David's done. It doesn't seem like that much happened. I mean, there were a couple of good revelatory points in it, but it's just other issues have been better.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that one yet. But definitely big week. It's getting to where one or two of the weeks coming up are actually not going to be that large. I was looking through the, and we'll talk about this when we're recording, the selection for what's coming out during the week for our 100th episode of the Weekly Comics Spotlight. And it's like, that would have been a nice week to have a huge selection and we get like a handful of things from Marvel, DC, and everyone else. It's like going to be slim pickings there, but you know, hey, some weeks feast, some weeks famine.
Well, maybe we just do some special stuff that into the episode, we'll just do some short stuff and then do some special things, which are alluded to on the forum if you go out to our forum at forums.comicbookpage.com. Oh, I'll also point out that the Federal Reserve Bank is giving out free comic books. And Lynn Workman told me about it, and I have a link up on the forum. There's a thread called Free Comics from the Federal Reserve Bank. If you want to get the story of the Federal Reserve Bank, the story of the foreign trade and exchange, the story of inflation, the story of banks, Once Upon a Dime, you know, titles like this.
Did you order those?
Oh, yeah. I ordered every one of them.
Same here, all 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe what we'll do at some point is go through those if they're any good.
Yeah. I ordered a couple of copies because Steven's taking, my son's in college, and he's taking
economics.
Some economics classes and stuff. So I thought I'll give him those and he can bring them in and give them to his economics professor if he hasn't gotten them yet.
I'm curious about them. I think it's a great idea.
But totally free. I mean, no shipping, no nothing. Sign up for them. They'll send you these comics for free. So, again, go out and check out the thread. And if you're going to check it out, post to the thread and say, hey, you know, I'm going to go and order these.
Now, they said it'd take like 4 weeks to get them. So,
yep.
Which actually works out about right because that'll be about the time we're all done with San Diego and stuff like that. So.
Yep.
And then I guess the only other thing is after we've got our clip for what we're doing next week, we've got a promo clip we were sent by a friend of the show for a item that got an Eisner nomination last year, unfortunately did not win, but a promo clip for Sentences, The Life of M.F. Grimm. So kind of a long promo, a little bit different, but I listened to it and really enjoyed it, so check that out. And if you haven't checked out Sentences, The Life of M.F. Grimm, I recommend it. Autobiographical, it's about, you know, M.F. Grimm, a rapper. I am not really into rap music, but I really enjoyed the trade paper, or the hardcover actually, although it's out in trade paperback now. Definitely worth checking out, so enjoy the promo for that, and I think that pretty much does it.
Join us next week when we discuss Justice League, Cry for Justice number 1 from DC, Captain America Reborn number 1 from Marvel, and Greek Street number 1 from Vertigo.
Many drown when trying to entertain. They say don't hold your breath, but I hold it like David Blaine. Rap run through my veins, quest, fortune, and fame. Best many do claim, but they're insane. Hard-headed mules, disregard tools. Others rock them on the chain, I drop jewels. Break vibrations of sound to chemicals. Turn chemicals to light and vibrate. Cause vampires bite as soon as night falls. So I keep on shining the coffins they crawl. Reborn battle for souls, take them all. Each one like a record, break them all. Came to raise the dead, wake them all. Salute street general, yep, make them all. Touch anything, snatch crowns from kings.
take their jewels, throw away their rings, throw away their things, drag them back to the people. All men created equal, but all men's make them evil. Our men fought the sunshine, suffer from famine, food's on mine. But knowledge is food, so food's on mine. You ask if I'm grinding, yeah, I'm on mine. To a cell in a chair, been confined. Cell in a chair, been a confine. Here we go now, grim, right for vertigo. Grim, I understand. I hear that you the man, more power than Superman. Every day you show that. M.F. Grim, you're the man, and we know that. You only live twice, no room to blow that. Comics, music, film, master the format. Art of war, master of combat. Master of peace, no need to turn back. Master in tracks, no bleed of feedback. Master in destiny before setback. Born 70, Nixon didn't like that. Through the 80s, tried to kill the baby. In the 90s, survived the age of crack. 09 is fine to fight back. So I howl at the moon, summon the whole pack. Lay up for the winter, summer, we all attack. Predator, shock, prey, it's taken back. To knees, drop, prey, ain't taken back. Words so sharp, with beats I break backs. Purse is a shark, I seek and eat tracks. Seen some claim they tough and jelly up. Swim with the sharks, bit and belly up. Coast is never clear, teaming up. But there's no fear, most high will beam me up. Cause grim, I understand. I hear that you the man, more power than Superman. Every day you show that. M.F. Grim, you're the man and we know that. Life's a struggle, I take it day by day. I do things my way, I'm rep by CAA. Vision clear, the sight of Horus. Shed like birds so bright through the chorus. Fire, he's a liar, I'm a sire. Messiah, mental magnet, men admire. Many men mad, want my empire. Many went mad, trying to acquire. Knowledge and brain, thoughts they desire. Haunted, spirits, ghosts got me tired. Keep me up all night, bill popping and wired. Ask me if I hear voices, I deny it. Silence them, Lord knows that I try it. Silencer on the gun, murder quiet. Violence is the story of my life. Police having fun, they got me on the run. But catch me if you can, I'm the gingerbread man. On your mark, get set, I jet to promised land. Sister, on deathbed, I held her hand. Wanted to give her a hug, I couldn't stand. Why God took her, I couldn't understand. Heart crushed, grinded up, grains of sand. But life lessons made me much wiser. Underrated, elevated, nominated for an Eisner. Sentences, the life of M.F. Grimm on Vertigo DC Comics. Go get it. Grim, I understand. I hear that you the man, more power than Superman. Every day you show that. M.F. Grim, you're the man and we know that.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.